Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to the Bean the Weekend edition. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at both Saturday and Sunday, which is why I've decided to call it the Weekend edition, you see. SoundCloud, is that still a thing? I think it is. We'll talk about that shortly. Australian rugby, is that still a thing? I don't think it is. Does Alan Jones, though? Let's catch up with him. And speaking of famous Australians, the Finn brothers, you know, Neil and Tim. What do you mean they're not Australian? The Australians keep saying that they are. Jack has a few thoughts about them. But first of all, he talked to Beaver. Yes, Stephen Donald. He's got a book out.
How do you feel about Stephen Donald with a book? Doing the old book tour thing, is that a bit of a weird experience?
Yeah, it is, and something I've been asked a fair bit lately. But I guess the boring and standard answer is it is what it is, and just enjoy the ride, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I Wikipedia'd you this morning because I just wanted to get some stats. And you have played, I think these are right, 77 provincial games, 112 Super Rugby games, and 23 games for the All Blacks. And for all that, I think even you would probably agree, there are two standout moments that have defined your career. So is that a bit weird?
It is weird, but you know, I'm glad I had the second one because I'd have hated to be defined by the other one you're talking about. So... you know, obviously, yeah, you know, from a personal point of view, you think, geez, I've played other good games of footy and, you know, I guess other bad games of footy too, but, yeah, there's only two that people tend to want to talk about.
Yeah. Let's do that then. Let's get the obvious stuff out of the way. And take us back to 2010, to Hong Kong, and by your own admissions, it wasn't a flash game. What did you think after that game in Hong Kong where largely... you seem to shoulder the entire blame for our loss to the Wallabies?
Yeah, I mean, like from all of that, like I knew I was played poorly, and no one threw it on me, even myself. So I knew it was a pretty bad day at the office. But yeah, and I guess the overriding little dark little thought I had in my head and that I couldn't really shake was I'd blown my chance to be in the World Cup team, really, and that was I guess something that would eat away at me and ultimately be true. But, yeah, it was something that I just couldn't shake.
Okay, so it's weird being Stephen Donald, isn't it? He was famous for blowing one game and then famous for saving an entire tournament. Yeah, what does Scotty Stevenson make of all of this stuff?
I mean, he's more than just a one-kick wonder, isn't he? I mean, he's a hell of a footballer. He's become an All Black. There's never been a bad All Black, Scotty.
Yeah, like there's a lot more to Stephen Donald than I guess just that kick. And that was the interesting thing when he asked me to help put a story on paper, is that we all knew that moment, that great climactic moment of his rugby career, the getting hauled off the river back into the All Blacks for that Rugby World Cup semi-final and then final. But the thing that struck me as I started work with him was that not many people like Stephen Donald who go through the All Blacks get to tell their story, because not many of those guys on the fringe ever put a biography on paper. And there is a story in Stephen Donald about life on the edge of All Black selection, and I think that's a story we don't hear too much about. And it's a really emotional story, really tough on those guys who don't quite know if they're in or they're out of the All Blacks. And Stephen Donald was certainly in that category and would be the first to admit it.
We'll have a bit more rugby for you shortly, but before we do, SoundCloud, is it one of those... web phenomenons that's sort of become obsolete, or is it still being well used? Here's Peter Griffin on this.
I want to talk about SoundCloud, and you know what I think about this. I don't like giving any of my intellectual property in any way, shape, or form to some sort of server that happens to be in Charlottesville, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, and so SoundCloud is where you put sound files, and they almost came a cropper, and I thought, all those poor people who put music up there.
Yeah, that's right. SoundCloud has been saved from going under. It was a couple of months away from running out of money. So the private equity guys, and we've heard a lot about them, they're the people who own MediaWorks here in New Zealand. They come in and they see a company in distress and they strip the cost out and then try and flick it on for some money. So those are the people who have saved SoundCloud. They're going to pump in $170 million to save what is really the audio equivalent of YouTube, and it's where millions of people upload audio. The New Zealand media uses it to host some of its audio, but you get a lot of emerging musicians, like in the early days, Lorde, she put a couple of her free tracks from
from Pure Heroin up on SoundCloud initially, and that's what led to this big wave of popularity. So a great service, but it just can't pay its way, and that's what the challenge is now with this new management team.
So my question is, with anything, if you're allowing the cloud to do the storage for you, you have to have 100% certainty that they're as good as a hard drive.
That's right. You got to have it all backed up. And there was a big move in the last couple of months for people to try and download all the stuff off SoundCloud because they were worried that one day it just wouldn't be available to them. So it is a concern, particularly around photos. That's what people, I think, care about the most. Yep. If you put all your photos in the cloud and they suddenly disappear, you've got to have backups for them.
I struggle a bit with that term, intellectual property, because I don't have any. My ideas aren't, I don't think they're smart enough to be considered intellectual. I mean, I'd like to be paid for them, though. It's just that they're probably not worth very much. Right, that was a depressing line of thought. So let's go back to something which makes us feel better, but the Australians depressed, the fact they've lost a Super Rugby team.
Your initial reaction to this announcement, the Western Force no longer part of Super Rugby?
Well, I think you've summed it up. I mean, you can sum it up pretty simply. It's just further proof of the mess that we're in. I thought the judgment or the argument presented by the Australian Rugby Union, which this arbitrator, I don't know who the arbitrator is, which the arbitrator accepted, namely that there's a financial problem and Australia can't afford five teams and so on, is just laughable. I mean, when you actually think, for example, if you're looking for money within Australian Rugby, just supposing they are short of money, then you'd cut down the size of head office and the salaries that are being paid there. You wouldn't be paying David Pocock $750,000 a year while he's on sabbatical. You wouldn't be paying test players $12,000 a match when they lose the test. I mean, that's $250,000 every test match that we lose. Well, we've lost a few, so there's a million. Now, I mean, you've got a job there, I've got a job. Part of the deal is we sign up on contract. They don't then pay you on top of the contract every time you broadcast a program. So, you know, there are so many ways. It's a farcical argument. If you take the opposition in Australia to rugby, for example, AFL or rugby league or soccer, then you've got startup teams like, for example, the Greater Western Giants. They've only been going for 4 years. The AFL have poured a fortune into them. They're now talking about them winning a premiership. You've got to tip money into outfits if you want to grow the game. And Western Australia have done a terrific job. Even their results in Super Rugby, where Australian results were diabolical. We beat one New Zealand team all year. But nonetheless, Western Force almost finished at the top of the Super Rugby division in Australia. And they beat the Waratahs. They beat New South Wales. And they're growing the game. I mean, they're working like navvies over there. They've got tremendous member support, tremendous player support, tremendous grassroots support. And, of course, now they've got Andrew Forrest, the billionaire, supporting them. And this matter will go to the Supreme Court, so it'll drag on and on and on. And quite frankly, the board ought to resign. Never mind Paul, but the whole board is completely out of touch with the needs of Australian rugby. And now here they are presiding over this absolute disaster. If we can't support five teams in Australia, with all our wealth and all our numbers and all our willingness to play, then we should close the whole show down.
That's an interesting point he's making there. Why did they only lose one team when they could have lost all of them? And perhaps should have. It's quite fun, isn't it, listening to both Mark Watson and Alan Jones there. I wish they'd come out and say what they really feel. It's all a bit reticent with those two guys. Right, now Neil Finn, he's doing something interesting at the moment. He every Friday afternoon, evening, he's recording songs live out there in front of the whole world, and then he's putting together an album out of all those songs. And I think this has got Jack thinking about the Finns.
They even made a couple of international Skype calls to really show off the breadth of their reach. At one point, Neil invited his son, Elroy, into the studio and then crossed to his other son, Liam, in Los Angeles. Father harmonising with sons across the world. They played music. It was amazing. The most moving moment of the evening, though, came partway through. Neil and Tim were watching the old images of themselves, I don't know, 50 years old maybe, projected onto the screen. And as Tim moved across the room, left his guitar behind to take place at a grand old Steinway piano, he lamented that it would be nice to have some mood music. some strings, perhaps. Lo and behold, to the surprise of the tens of thousands of people watching from all around the world, the screen slowly pulled back to reveal the orchestra that waited.
Four seasons in one day, lying in the depths of your imagination, worlds above and worlds below. The sun shines on the black clouds hanging over the domain. Even when you're feeling warm, the temperature could drop away. Like four seasons in one day.
Between the musicians who contributed, the incredibly ambitious effort to broadcast such high-quality production over the internet, and the Finns' incredible music talent, it was one of the most profound artistic moments I have ever experienced.
Probably just behind listening to any of these podcasts, don't you reckon? I am Glenn ZB. That has been another artistic experience of Newstalk ZB. I'll see you back here with more of those experiences tomorrow.